Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit. Hi, I'm Daniel Lim, your host. Today we will be discussing the five major principles that is involved in multiplying leaders. Well, it's wonderful to spend this afternoon with you again, Blair, as we discuss a more pertinent topic about leadership. During this One Thing Leadership Summit, we continue to actually focus on how we can effectively multiply the things that we care about, the core value that we hold dear, especially in the context of culture of prayer. We talk about how a leader who have spent a lot of time faithfully cultivating a set of core value and system, and how the leader needs to begin to multiply himself or herself to others, and so that others can join and co-labor in the same direction and vision and mission. And over the years, I find that there is an organic process of which discipleship or multiplication of leadership value can take place, and it can actually be divided into five important words. And those words in the English language happen to start with M. So I'm going to just quickly say to our audience here, the first word is modeling. Some people do not believe in that word. They believe that people should listen to what they say and follow the instruction, but they themselves don't practice what they ask others to do.
There's some Bible verses about that.
Yeah. We don't want to be in that category. We want to be authentic leaders.
Yes.
And leaders that basically live before we preach. We want to have an authentic life in Christ. Now, however, leaders who believe that they could instruct others to do what they don't actually believe and follow through sometimes have some result, but their results are short-lived, or they will have to use a lot of force and a lot of bribes, a lot of compensation to get people to buy into doing what they do and join them to do what they do, but people don't really have deep measure of respect or buy-in. They actually have to be bribed into this with a lot of material comfort, or they have to be forced into it with a lot of violent threats and different things. So you have different system where people were basically coerced to toe the line and join the team and do some work. We have seen that throughout history. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about those methods here. We're talking about biblical, authentic Christian discipleship. It has to begin with that leader. And so we start out with modeling. But we also find that modeling itself is insufficient, because sometimes people would classify the originator or the master or the teacher or the discipler to be a unique individual who can live a certain way and walk a certain way, or may have unusual giftings that can pull off a certain performance that is not reproducible in other people. Mm-hmm. And once others are convinced that this is a unique one-off situation for that person, then multiplication stops.
Which we're all unique.
Yeah, we're all unique, but under certain circumstances, people kind of stereotype or put that leader in a box in a admirable way, but it doesn't help in multiplication. So modeling has to be supplemented or complemented with the next thing called messaging. We have to explain to people why we're living a certain way, why we are doing things a certain way. And after messaging, the third M is actually mobilization. No, we're not just doing it ourselves and explaining to others why we're doing it the way we're doing it. We're now inviting others
and
helping them do it, mm-hmm. or actually giving way or creating on-ramps and platforms for them to also live the same way or similar way with the same set of value. So we're mobilizing other people to do that. But during this phase, we're not just passing on the responsibility. We're doing it with them, and they're doing it with us. And then the next part, which is very important for the growth of the people who are receiving, who have been discipled, or who are receiving this set of value, or even skill is to be constantly evaluated. So the fourth M is measuring. Mm. Feedback, there are specifics, that with specific strength and weakness, specific feedbacks. I like to say that feedback that we give to people, if it's not specific enough, if it's just a pat on the shoulder, great job. It's called affirmation. Affirmation is important, but they're not really feedback. Feedback involves why you are doing it so well, how you can do better, and this is what you should need to stop doing because it's really not helping. Mm-hmm. And so the why in the specific of how it ended up wrong and how it is right and how you can even keep improving.
Yeah.
So measuring is the fourth M. So modeling, messaging, mobilizing, and then measuring. And finally, it's empowering the new leader to basically do what they do, but based on their own maturity, personality, giftings. And so we're empowering them. Now the leaders have been multiplied. You know, they can form new groups or they can stay in the same groups, but
They have been followed
by others. Mm-hmm. In fact, through their unique giftings and personality and the maturity. And in fact, our goal is that the people that are inspired by us and equipped by us are actually have way more people that want to follow them because they are far more fruitful and far more effective.
Yeah.
Okay, so after these five stages, observe in our natural dynamics of family, father and son, mm-hmm. Even in you're newly married, you just married for a couple of years,
yeah.
And so how does that even play in a couple dynamics, and even in workplace, in ministry, and how in team dynamics, how does these five stages actually, or these five M actually help you in all these life's circle of reality?
Yes, and so I just to be very practical for my family, growing up, the youngest of four boys, but my dad builds houses. And so as a 3, 4, 5-year-old, we were being pulled around on the job sites and cleaning up yards and so forth. And so he was modeling
Let's be frank. You were having fun playing games. You're not real job at 3 years old.
Well, there was some picking up the yards, but there was also some picking up of dirt clods to throw at your brother. So
I'm sure the fun is involved. Yes.
There was fun and there was work. And a lot of times they were related. And so my dad was modeling for us what he did as his occupation.
So he's not just asking you to pick up stuff. He pick up stuff before he asks you to pick up stuff.
Correct. And also being around him, we watched him do things that we couldn't do yet because we weren't big enough yet or we weren't strong enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but as we grew and as the learning journey grew, he began to tell us more about what he did and tell us more about how he did it. And then he started doing the mobilizing, giving us opportunities to actually do it. Here, you hold the screw gun and I'll hold the board this time and you do the screwing instead of...
So he make room for you to participate.
He make room for us to participate. And then there was the measuring. And this was, there's certain industries that have high standards and housing is one of them because you're serving a customer and it's their home. And so are you actually doing something with an excellence enough for your customer in this situation? And so that season of measuring, I'd say, and the mobilizing is very long to get to you to the place of now myself as his son being able to multiply. And I'm not quite there yet. And for my own, I'm still working on
raising
a family.
But he's not around you every day telling you Correct. What to do anymore. So the relationship still continue.
Correct.
When you have problem, you call him.
Yes.
Like in terms of not being able to solve any housing issues, you call him.
But some of the measuring is in if I can solve the problem without him, what level of problems go to him and what they don't.
Yes, very good. So what about marriage?
So what about marriage?
You used to be single, you're married, and you have a team. And there is a ministry team, a couple, a loving couple. And mm-hmm. So how does this 5M is even relevant?
Good
because
question.
You're going to have kids, you'll be multiplying soon.
Okay, so I'm going to pull my family card also on this
yes,
one.
Yes, okay.
I realized how much I benefit from being the youngest child.
Okay.
Even in the marriage aspect, in our situation, my wife was the first one of all 16 of her cousins to get married. First one in the extended
family.
So you're
the guinea pig. You're the experiment.
I was the experiment. And yes, and so it went well, but I realized even doing the actual wedding, how much confidence I walked into it because I had seen... I'm the youngest of all of my cousins. And so I've seen lots of weddings and lots of family weddings and all of my brothers married. And so now, after my wife and I have been married a couple of years, we don't have any kids yet, but my brothers do. And they live here close to us. And so we get to watch how my brothers raise their kids and et cetera. And so
I think that you do more than modeling there. You didn't even just watch. You didn't just watch them.
There's some mobilization happening.
Yeah,
also.
They're passing their kids to you for your practice. Right. Yeah, you're a lot of babysitting time.
And if it wasn't family who actually lived close, it would be other people in our lives. It'd be other people we look up to. We're in a small group of other young couples and a couple, and then the leaders, who is a couple who've been married for 20 years, and you yourself. And so we look as a couple, of my wife and I, to those around us to both intentionally go through this whole process of who are our role models, asking them questions to have the message to us, ask them to point us towards opportunities to mobilize, help us measure, and to multiply.
Wonderful. Let's switch to the ministry context, which is most relevant to our audience, you know, young and old. How do you experience this 5M within the context of ministry? I didn't prepare a script, so I don't know what you're going to say, but I did actually recruit you directly.
Yes. Yep.
So maybe comment on, I didn't show you the 5M when I recruited you, so.
Yes, we had a lot of modeling going on in our first year of marriage because we were first year married. My wife is international, so we had those dynamics, but we also had first year of working with you in ministry. And so there was a lot of looking unto you and your modeling and a lot of things that I look back now and see that you were specifically modeling for us. But then you would also were very intentional in taking time for explaining why behind the what. Often that was after the scenario, and so you let the scenario play out and
let some tears come down,
let some tears, let some laughter, let some success, let some failure and some balls drop. But you were specific to take time to message to us the why behind the what and help us be more self-aware. And then I also saw you give us then more opportunities to mobilize, more opportunities to do it again from what we learned, and we really appreciated that in the journey.
So did you say that in mobilization, repetition is key?
Yes, I think repetition is key. I think all of these levels, they don't go completely synchronized. I think they're kind of a rotating scenario of...
They loop back.
They loop back and forth between each other and they skip over each other, but they are all very important.
There's something called cyclical learning, where you actually begin with something and you look back around to repeat them.
Correct.
But you don't repeat them for too many times and too long, but you repeat them enough to get enough under your belt, and then you move on to the next phase. But you loop them, you actually look back to the previous phases. And what about feedbacks, measuring? How important is that?
I think it's very important. Again, here in the ministry context, with both the arena I've served with you in and the arena my wife has served in, there's been set times where we do a quarterly kind of check-in review, or a yearly or a biannual. And those times are very good, I think, for realigning with the direction that we're going. And the some of the things that you said earlier of what's happening well, what needs to change, and what needs to not happen again. And so I would say that the measurement aspect is extremely key. Otherwise, I think there's a loss of vision.
Wonderful. So, this 5M, these five stages, they actually mutually, there's synergy between them. And in order for us to continue to multiply leaders, we have to be very conscious that we're doing this with multiple leaders who are in different stages of their walk with us. And they are not all just relating to us, assuming that you are the main leader of that group that's forming the culture and the mission and the vision of the group. They should not all just relate just to you, because they should relate to one another. Mm-hmm. And the relationship with one another also involves these 5 M's.
Very
modeling,
so.
Messaging, mobilizing, measuring, and multiplying. Because the more input they can get from one another, if you actually coach and lead the group optimally, then you actually could allow the multiplication of gifting and grace in the group, because we in ourselves do not have the entire gift package and the grace package to do everything.
Yeah.
We need one another.
And you were very intentional with my wife and I to introduce us to couples. When we were 3 months married to couples who were 3 years married, both full-time ministry, maybe a kid on the way, but who were also in leadership, and to do that kind of cross-referencing, peer review, modeling of these very same steps.
Yes, so I think it's very important that we have we pay attention to these stages, and we understand that in each stages there are strengths that we need to emphasize, and there are actually areas that not been emphasized or neglected, just because every emphasis will produce some neglect.
Correct.
If not, it won't be called an emphasis. So in modeling stage, the emphasis is on authenticity of the person who is multiplying the value. Mm. I mean, people can see. A lot of things are caught. They're not just taught.
Mm.
People want to know that this is livable. This is doable. And you're really doing it. And consistency is very key. And people will get disillusioned after a while if they know that the whole thing is a fake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the second one is messaging, knowing how to effectively explain the why behind how things are done and when they are done, the way we do it, and
so
all this.
So would you even say quantity of time is an emphasis during the messaging?
The quantity of time in sufficient time to explain,
sufficient
so that
time.
It's not so fast where people have no time to process. It's not just how much you tell the other person, it's how much the person is able to understand.
Mm.
Because sometimes you have to repeat the why a few times, because the why is actually a hard message, very difficult to swallow that message, very challenging message, because it will transform the life of the person. It involves transformation. So we have messaging, and then we're mobilizing, just creating opportunity for people to join in and work. And during the mobilization, messaging continue. The explanation of why continue, because now the person is connecting to the dot. It's three-dimensional learning now. It's not just, okay, I see you do it, I understand why you're doing it. When I'm doing it, I discover layers of challenges that I never discover when I'm just watching you doing it.
Very true.
You know, my emotion, my challenges and all that. And in that process, the measuring and the messaging is actually fused together.
Mm.
You know, the measuring involves something very specific, but the messaging still continue to give the why behind the what. And then empowering. We don't hang on to our leaders forever.
Mm.
We want to believe in what God has for them. We empower them. We believe that they can walk out the fullness of all that God has for them. I think we look forward for the next podcast when we explore each of these phases.